Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. You're here with Lira Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. We're about to celebrate a significant event, really quite an occasion, the 69th anniversary of our being able to live independently in the state of Israel as a Jewish nation. Now, this is very significant to an extent that we've gotten used to this idea that we live here, we have the opportunity to live as a free nation in the land of Israel. In a way, we've gotten used to it. When I mean that, it's because it's been 69 years. On the other hand, I feel like personally, I live here. I've been here for 7 years. My family and I made Aliyah. We moved to Israel from America 7 years ago. It's been a tremendous gift. But one of the things I find from living here is that we have constant reminders not to take this gift for granted. We've been here for 69 years. Personally, I've been here for 7. But throughout the terrorism that we go through, the claims on the land from other nations, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, I personally feel there's constant reminder, don't take this gift for granted. You have to constantly appreciate the gift that God's given us. And that's what happens in life. I think about the fact that for thousands of years, we prayed to return to this land. It's in our prayers. And there were so many people that just didn't have the opportunity. It wasn't an option for them. There was no way they could come and live here. It wasn't like it is today where it's easy. You can just get a free ticket, make Aliyah, get financial and emotional and practical help and support, and start your life over here in the land of Israel. That wasn't an option for so many people. And today we have that gift, a gift, a dream that's been fulfilled for us. We have the opportunity to come and live here. Practically, my family and I were able to do this, which is really a tremendous blessing. I'm very grateful for that. And yet it's something, again, that we have to understand when sometimes I find in day-to-day life, we have to remind ourselves. We don't necessarily want to be reminded through bad things happening of the fact that we don't want to take for granted and appreciate the gift that we've been given. But sometimes, even as a nation, something or in our lives, in our own personal lives, something we've been waiting for so long, when we finally get it and we have it for a little while, we can start to forget about its significance, its importance. And I think especially Yom HaAtzmaut, sort of like an anniversary for a marriage, a birthday for within your own life, it's an important time to take a step back and reflect and get a better understanding of the importance of this event, of the importance of this opportunity that we have to be here as a Jewish nation living in this land. So when we return, I want to address this with Rabbi Aaron to get a better understanding of the deeper significance of what it means for the Jewish nation to once again be able to live freely in the land of Israel, what this means for the Jewish people, and ultimately what this means for the entire world. Because Israel isn't just an effect on the Jewish people, as we see the entire world looks at us and towards us, for better and for worse sometimes, as far as the significance and the effect that we have in the entire world. So when we return Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lior Mandel, we'll get a better understanding of the significance, the blessing, the gift of living and having the opportunity to live our lives in the state of Israel.
Howdy from the heartland. This is David Ha'ivri. Would you like to know what it's like to live in the wild West Bank? No, that is a mistake. This is not the West Bank. This is the heartland of Israel, Judea and Samaria. Israel is under attack on Facebook and social media, in the campuses, in newspapers. They are spreading lies and false information about Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Israel time for A Hebrew in the Heartland, and I am going to provide you real information and tools that you can use to defend Israel. You too will become a warrior to protect this holy nation.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Lior Mandel here with Rabbi David Aaron. This week marks Yom HaAtzmaut, the celebration of the independence of the State of Israel. Now, this is a huge thing because thinking about the significance of this, Rabbi, for so many years, thousands of years, we were praying for a return to the land of Israel, the Jewish people in particular. We were in the diaspora, hoping, praying to return. It's in the prayers. We still say it today. And here we've been here for so many years. Thank God we've been blessed to be back living independently in this land. And yet sometimes I wonder if we really, even I myself, I thank God live here. I moved here 7 years ago. I think, and a big part of the move was understanding that this is an amazing opportunity. How many people for so many years wish they could have been living in this land independently, freely, living as a Jew, religiously, under our own leadership, and they just couldn't. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a possibility. And here we have this opportunity, and that really was the impetus for my family's Aliyah 7 years ago. And yet, even living here, sometimes I wonder, do I really understand the significance of what it means to be living in this land today? What it means to the Jewish people? What it means to the world? Because the whole world really looks to the land of Israel. We're constantly in the news, and oftentimes it seems in an unusual way. There's so many bigger issues going on in the world, and somehow Israel still seems to be the focus of the world at large. And at the same time, as much as I'm here with my family and you're here with your family, Rabbi, there are still so many Jews living in the diaspora today. So I really, especially with celebrating our ability to be living in this land, our independence in this land, I really personally, and I think many of us would find it helpful to get a better understanding of what is the significance of living in Israel to the fact that when we couldn't be here, we were praying for so long to be here. And now that we're here, how do we understand the importance of the fact that we are living in this land now independently in what we call the Jewish homeland?
Right, right. Well, let's look a little bit at what Zionism really is, because I think there's a challenge in terms of, so to speak, is Judaism or is Jewishness a peoplehood or is it a religion? There are people that couldn't understand why. What do you need a land for? Religion doesn't need a land. It only complicates things. And I think even Abraham might have been surprised when God says, I will take you to this land and I will give it to your children. And he's probably thinking, what do I need nationalism for? I want a spiritual movement. I want to inspire people towards God and a life of values. What do I need? Why do I need to get involved with the whole national stuff? And so it's interesting in the history of Zionism, there were different attitudes amongst various Jewish leaders. One attitude was that there is no need for a land. There were Jews that felt there is no need for a land, and if we were in danger, then we need a land. So there's some people that saw the land of Israel as a place of refuge. That if you are in danger in the diaspora, it's good that there's a place you can run to. There was that opinion. Then, according to that opinion, it doesn't have to then be Israel. In fact, one of the ideas in the early Zionist discussions was maybe Uganda. Uganda was offered to us that we would start a Jewish state there. And so based on the principle that maybe just the Jewish people need an asylum, a place to protect them when they're in danger, Uganda, wherever, we just have a place. Then there are those that said, no, it can't be Uganda. It's got to be Israel, because we need to we need a place not only for asylum and protection. We need a place that we can express our own cultural unique identity. And then there's those that said, since Israel was part of the identity of the Jewish people, that's really important. But there were those that would think, again, it doesn't matter where, as long as we had a country, wherever it is, and we had our own independence, we could express and discover our own cultural, uniqueness and art and music and whatever. But then from a Torah point of view, I myself as a Torah Jew, the land of Israel isn't just a place for protection for Jews if they're in danger to run away from. And it's not just a place for us to express ourselves culturally, but it's the place that we can fulfill our mission. And this is where there's a lot of confusion amongst people. Is Judaism a religion, or is Judaism a national mission? And the truth is, it's beyond both. The chosenness of the Jewish people is a chosenness of peoplehood. We were not chosen to just be, individuals that are religious and God conscious, but rather we wanted to bring something, and we were mandated to bring something unique to the world, which is to be a blessing to all nations, right? Not just to individuals. There's a lot of really fabulous, amazing, non-Jewish individuals that are incredibly God conscious and that's not the whole point here. The point here is that the Jewish people are meant to be a model of a nation that's God conscious, not just individuals that are God conscious, that there are many that are not Jewish and doing a wonderful job without us, but we are meant to be an inspiration to all people that God doesn't simply belong to the individual realm of my personal spirituality, but that God needs to be infused, or God consciousness needs to be infused at every level of life. You know, the whole concept of the separation of church and state is really not what the Torah is talking about. You know, the concept of separating church and state means, okay, the state has to run itself, has got nothing to do with religion, and then, you know, you as an individual can have your religious life. But our goal here is to have a religious state, a Torah state, that our government is run with God consciousness, that our army is run with God consciousness, that our economic strategy is built on the principles of Torah, justice and fairness. And that's why this country is referred to as Zion, Zion. The word Zion literally means a model, right? A Zion is, you know, sadly enough, when a person passes away, the gravestones referred to as a Zion. And what's put on the gravestone is the remarkable accomplishments of who this person was. And so the same idea here, not God forbid that this is a gravestone, but the idea is that the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, is meant to be a model state. We are not meant to simply be model individuals, but we as model individuals need to build together a model state that statehood should be infused with God consciousness and the various values that are implicated by running a state under that God consciousness.
So this is something that the Jewish people as a nation are supposed to, it's a goal for us when we have the opportunity to live in this land to try to bring forth and accomplish. But what you're saying is it's supposed to have an effect on the entire world. So that's why the state of Israel isn't just something that's important for the Jewish people. If you're talking about bringing a sense of God consciousness to the world, then as a nation, by our living in this land, if we live in it properly with God consciousness, then the idea is that it's supposed to have a God conscious effect on the entire world.
Absolutely. That is one of the unique features of this land. You know, most countries, my guess is all countries, were founded for the sake of the individuals. Individuals said, hey, if we co-op, if we work together, then that will be good for us, right? The state is there to serve the individual because that's in the best interest of the individual. And it's like, you know, a good business plan. You know, why have your little store and I have my little store? If we were to co-op and build together, we would have greater success. And so the nation is there to serve the best interests of the individual, and certainly not there to serve the best interests of other nations. That's not that we don't, you know, not that they don't care about other nations, but that wasn't the raison d'etre of why they established a nation. We are in the land of Israel because of the meaning and the service it is to provide for the world. That's a big shift. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of Jewish people don't understand that. That the promised land, if we're not coming back to the promised land, there's no land to come back to. You know, to come back to the land of Israel, just because you think you're going to make a better living, which is a question itself, whether that's true, you know, or because you like falafel, whatever. But we come back here because we have a mission and we have a responsibility to the world. Our job is to build a nation that will be a model nation, inspiration to other nations, that not only a person's individual and family life should be guided by God, but national life should be guided by God.
My question is, do we get so much condemnation from the world on all sorts of things? I mean, it's constantly in the news, the UN, we have the most condemnations. Would that be a sign that we're not fulfilling our mission? Or is that a sign that the world doesn't want to hear about God consciousness and therefore is constantly condemning us for everything?
Well, you know, that goes into the classic question of, you know, anti-Semitism. What the very meaning of the chosen people. What are we chosen for? Very often people don't understand that the concept of the chosen people is not a privilege, but a responsibility and an obligation to the world. we're not chosen to have a better life, and everybody is doomed to, you know, rejection. No, God chose the Jewish people because of God's commitment to the whole world. God gave the Jewish people the land of Israel so that we would build a model state that would be a inspiration to all states and all people of the world. And so the anti-Israel stuff comes from a lot of different places. And you know, maybe after the break we'll explore some of those anti-Zionistic issues.
That would be very helpful, because again, in my mind, I'm thinking here we have this ideal mission. It sounds so ideal. And to understand what's realistically going on in the here and now with the state that Israel's in and the constant feedback we're getting from the world at large. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
G'day dear listeners, join Jason and Jono on our new program entitled Israel on My Mind, a show where we highlight humorous and happy news stories relating to the people and state of Israel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, exclusively here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You can join us anytime by listening on demand to Israel News Talk Radio and join in the conversation on our Facebook page. Just search for Israel on My Mind. If you have any questions or comments, then feel free to leave them in the comment section below and maybe you'll be featured on the show.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. I'm here with Rabbi David Aaron discussing the state of Israel. We have Yom HaTzmaut this week, which is an amazing celebration, amazing gift from God that we are again able to, the Jewish people are able to live in the land of Israel. And as the rabbi is explaining, the significance about this is that we as the Jewish people are supposed to be a model nation of God consciousness. It's supposed to be that this is the land within which we have the ultimate ability to live this life within our law systems, within our religious consciousness, religious freedom, economic systems, every aspect of life. We're supposed to be living with God consciousness, and it's supposed to have an effect on the world, seeing a nation living with God consciousness. But before the break, I was asking the rabbi that on the one hand, this is an ideal opportunity to try to live with this God consciousness, but we're constantly getting, instead of appreciation from the nations of the world, it seems like we're getting condemnation. So my question was, is this reflective of the idea that we are not maybe living up to this ideal, or that the world does not want to hear this message of God consciousness? And you mentioned, again, anti-Semitism. And I always find it interesting that today, anti-Semitism, it seems after the Holocaust, just seems to be not so PC for most people to say. So instead you hear anti-Zionism. We love Jews, we just don't like Zionists. And it almost seems as though that's just been a term that's been used, that since people feel uncomfortable about the word anti-Semitism, will say we're anti-Zionist, but really it's one and the same. What's your understanding of this whole situation?
Yeah. So I think anti-Zionism is just a cover up for a very classic old anti-Semitism. And going to your question, which is, so if our job is to deliver a message that not only the individual and the family should be guided by God consciousness, but an entire nation and everything that goes into nationhood. And by the way, it's important that when we say God consciousness, we're not talking about a bunch of people sitting there meditating, although that's also part of it and a nice thing, but that's not the essence of it. The essence is that you live a life based on love and peace and justice and equality and the respect of the dignity of all people and, you know, all the values that are implicated by believing in one God. But, you know, I can't offer one answer that fits all. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of anti-Zionism. But I think from a metaphysical point of view, which is where I kind of come from, the Kabbalistic point of view, there's some deep, deep resistance. It's what Hitler said about the Jewish people, that we are the conscience of the world, and how the Jewish people have perpetrated a plot on mankind that we can transcend ourselves, but it's not true. As he says in Mein Kampf, we are barbarians and we should be proud of it. I think there's this deep, deep resistance to our message. I think that's one reason for the anti-Zionism, is that people don't want us to succeed in this mission because they're very happy in their lifestyle, which in their minds is free of God consciousness, and in their mind free of guilt, because that's what they think God consciousness is built on. But then there's another, there could be another anti-Zionism, which is that we do have very high expectation for the Jewish people. We have a very high expectation for the independent state of Israel. You're supposed to be a state that declares the sovereignty of God over the world. And so what are you doing? And it could be that that's also another reason for some people in terms of the anti-Zionism, is that they may be disappointed, and they hold us to a very high standard. People are critical of the rabbi, because they expect the rabbi to be much better than everybody else and to be a model to everybody else. And so they hold him to a higher standard and are a lot more critical of him. Hmm. The Jewish people are referred to as a Mamlechet Kohanim. We're referred to as a kingdom of priests. And just as the priest in the Jewish world, there was Kohanim. The Kohen is the model. He worked in the temple. He was he served as a model of that. His whole life is, not everybody's life. I say to my students, I'm a rabbi. And, and some of you, some of my students are doctors and lawyers and accountants and maybe plumbers and actors. And so am I better than you? Right. They say no. So I say, so what does that mean? I mean, my job is, if I have a problem with my health, I go to a doctor. If I have problems legally, I go to a lawyer. If I have accounting issues, I go to an accountant. And I have dental issues, I go to a dentist. So it's just a different job. But if a person has spiritual issues connected to, or God consciousness issues, or issues with morality, issues with ethics and spirituality, then you go to the rabbi. It's not that he's better than you. But what he has to offer really sets the tone and creates the context for everything everyone's doing, because if you're a doctor or an accountant or whatever field you're in, it has to be within the context of a consciousness of one God and serving God, which means serving to bring godly values to the world and materializing those values in the world and in your field. And so I think there's a number of reasons for the anti-Zionist thing, which is either I don't want to hear your message, or you don't like your message. I'm still angry at what I believe is true about the Jewish people and whatever, killing Jesus or whatever, or yes, I would like the Jewish people to play that role, and I don't see them playing that. I'm not saying they're right that we're not playing it. I actually think they're wrong. I think Israel is an extraordinary country and has demonstrated amazing values in especially in light of the kind of challenges. It's like it's one thing when a country's at peace and has lots of friends around them and they're very, ethical and caring about everybody else. But it's another thing when you feel so cornered and so abused by so many, and still you care about the world, you love the world, you still believe in human dignity, and you still pursue peace. I mean, really quite amazing. If the Palestinians would genuinely reach out for peace and just recognize Israel, then Israel would surely make peace with the Palestinians. I have no question on that, but you can't have peace with people that don't recognize you. I mean, like, that's ridiculous. They don't recognize your right to exist. How, there's no peace there. And so I think the country state, and it's so young still, has demonstrated just absolute miraculous feats of commitment and ethical standards. I'm not saying we don't fail sometimes. We are still human, but I think in general the state has been an incredible model of values, universal values that all can learn and benefit from.
So to a great extent, we are working on living up to this mission in this land as this people. One of the things I keep thinking about, too, is for so long we were praying to return to the land. And as much as we can, you know, politically and historically explain how it is that we're here today, ultimately, God is the one who's behind it and made the opportunity for us to return to this land. What's the significance of our being here now under all these circumstances? Does that mean something as far as where the world is going and we as the Jewish people are going? Because it was so long that if we're supposed to be in this land living this mission, it's like we were out of the land, not being able to completely live this mission. And now that we're here again, in my mind, I keep thinking there has to be some significance that God's telling us now this is the time you're in this land. Are we bringing the world towards a certain place?
Well, I believe that this is what's referred to in Hebrew as Yitralta de Geula, that this is the beginning of redemption. Our prophet said we'd come back. It is an absolute outright miracle. What nation ever has a comeback? You know, we've been out of our land much longer than we've been in our land, thousands of years of oppression. It's amazing we just didn't disappear. And yet here we are, especially after the Holocaust, and we've come back, and in such a short amount of time, I mean, if any of our listeners have not been to Israel, please come and see and witness for yourself the incredible amount of growth and building. It's mind-boggling to see this country. I mean, I've been in this country for over 40 years, and what I've seen with my eyes, it is just a booming country that is building and developing. The quality of life here, is really incredible, so beautiful. And so this is it. The prophet said we're coming back, and I think right now we're sliding into home base for the messianic, the coming of Messiah, the coming of Mashiach. And this is it. There's something very extraordinary about it. In fact, the Kabbalists say that the 6 days of creation actually correlate to the entirety of history. According to Judaism, there's a history is a story of 6,000 and 7,000 years. The 7,000 year is the, you know, the first 2,000 years are referred to as the years of chaos. The next 2,000 years is referred to as the 2,000 years of Torah. And then the last 2,000 years, which we are clearly in, is the 2,000 years of redemption. And they correlate to the 6 days of creation. And the truth is that in Jewish law, the afternoon of Friday begins to already take on the quality and becomes impacted by the transcendental power of Shabbat, which would be the seventh day, correlating to the 7,000 years. And we are, so to speak, relative to the model of 6 days of creation in history right now. We are in the latter part of, very far ahead, very, very nearing the end of the 6,000th year, the end of the redemption, and then the final redemption, which will be the 7,000 year. And that's where we are, right? We have literally passed into Shabbat.
Well, you know, so in historically. Addition to the miracle of returning, the idea that this is part of the Messianic era is even more of an amazing thing. When we return, Soul Talk, by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. I'm here with Rabbi David Aaron. discussing the significance of Yom HaAtzma'ut, our return to the land of Israel, the return of the nation of the Jewish people, its effect on the entire world. And right before the break, Rabbi, we were talking about the significance of now, that to a great extent this is really significant, and we're, as far as our entering into the Messianic era. Again, this may take some more time. Things don't necessarily happen overnight, but this is a process in which we're engaging. And that part of, again, the significance of our being here is that the Jewish people as a nation are supposed to bring a God-conscious message to the world. When we're in this land, it gives us more of an ability to bring that message to the world by living as a nation in a land that's filled with God-consciousness. And the Messianic era is supposed to be filled with God-consciousness. Now, the challenge, at least we live day to day here, is that we have neighbors, we have the Palestinians who are constantly fighting against our claim. We're going head to head. And I keep thinking about the fact that here, who are they? They're the descendants of Abraham just as we are. They're the descendants of Yishmael. We're the descendants of Yitzchak. And just historically, even in the Bible, as we see that Yitzchak and Yishmael, there was a sort of tension between them. We're experiencing that today as far as who does this land belong to? Which child of Abraham? And there has to be tremendous significance if you put it all together. Here we weren't in this land for all these years. Now we're back, but we're almost having to fight out our birthright with the other brother. And we're entering the times of the Messianic era. And I mean, it's almost mind-blowing if you put all this together. Sometimes I think when we're living it day to day, we don't take a step back to see the bigger picture. So what are we supposed to think of all this, this whole picture together?
Well, our rabbis describe the messianic process as a woman giving birth. And in the, you know, as she's getting closer and closer to the baby actually coming to the world, the contractions get even more intense and more painful. There are rabbis that said that the pain right before the birthing of the Messiah will be so great that they'd rather not be in that period of history. And so we have witnessed some really incredibly painful contractions. The Holocaust was certainly one of the major contractions that right before it, the country was born. And there's still, so to speak, these kind of contractions going on. So there is pain and really, you know, today is tonight we're beginning Yom HaZikaron, the day that we remember those that have fallen in battle, those that were killed through terrorism. And we've had some incredibly, incredibly painful, painful stories of losses in order to maintain and sustain and build this country. But this is the process that our sages anticipated would happen. And the fact that there is conflict, and the fact that we have people that says it's not your land, is a test to see how much we really believe it is our land. Mm. And I think the more that we are confident of our claims, that will be more respected. As soon as we start showing compromise and doubt in terms of our own right to the land, then don't be surprised that you'll have more enemies, you know, playing off that doubt. But the more we have certainty that we are here and we are here to stay, and historically, if you go back and you look, we were in this country long before Palestinians had any history here at all. And quite frankly, I honestly feel very sorry for the Palestinians. And I honestly believe that if they were to allow Israel to manage their lives, they would have better lives. You know, they would have better lives. Israel would allow them their cultural freedom. But at this point, after so many years, what after Oslo and pulling out of Gush Katif, what have they done over there? I recently saw an article how their fuel, their power stations are cutting down, and that they only have a few hours a day of electricity. I mean, terrible management, and there's a lot of blaming of each other for the economic crisis over there. This one particular article said that it's at the verge of almost unlivable. If they were to allow Israel to manage it, and if they were to genuinely want peace and just recognize our right to be here, it would be amazing. But it comes from a hatred that's at their own detriment, that they hate us, and it doesn't help them at all. It only hurts them even more.
But ultimately, when you go back to our experience and the challenges that we have being on the end of their wrath, their anger, their hatred, When you talk about the idea of the birth pains, I think that's such a, especially as a woman who's given birth, I can really relate to that. But what, how do you get through those? And unfortunately, you're right. We have tremendous contractions and birth pains here living in this land. On the one hand, it's a tremendous gift from God. On the other hand, we are still suffering within this land. We're not in that messianic era yet. But as a woman, how do you get through the birth pains? You know you're about to give birth. I mean, the pain can be tremendous, and sometimes there's a little bit of relief in between. And you really feel this with all these intifadas, so to speak. They have these, you know, these intense times of things get much worse and much more tension. Then there's a break, and then eventually it starts again. But it really, the idea of birth pains is very powerful, because the idea is, but you're working towards something. And the pain is tremendous, and God forbid all the losses are absolutely tremendous. But we have to keep that vision in mind. I think that's part of what we have to celebrate, too, when we're celebrating the gift of being in this land again, is that we're living this vision. We're living, it's not just a dream anymore. I mean, I keep thinking, sometimes we say, you know, that we will then be again with joy and laughter in the land. And I keep thinking, but we're here now with joy and laughter in the land. I mean, think of how many people for so many years were saying this blessing and not actually experiencing it and enjoying it. It was just a dream. And here we're living the dream. But same thing with a woman giving birth. You can think sometimes, is this a dream? But look at all of the pain and the sorrow that sometimes has come along with this. But that birth pain analogy is so powerful, because again, for a woman, let's say, who's been pining for a child for years and years and years, and she wasn't blessed, and then she becomes pregnant and she's finally giving birth. I mean, there can be tremendous pain in giving birth, but there's still that joy in knowing that something good is coming out of this. We just have to get there.
Right. Well, I might have shared, it's a good story to share. When we were giving birth to our first child, and we went to Lamaze to, you know, learn how to do it and focus and how the husband's supposed to help his wife. But when we got to the hospital, I was beside myself. I was hyperventilating, trying to help my wife breathe. And it was, the contractions were getting more and more intense and more painful. And it was at a point where I even asked for an epidural. I was joking. And for myself. And I said to my wife, in the middle of a contraction, she pulled out of it. She was so much pain. She turned to me and she said, "Hey, calm down." And I said, what? And then she went into another contraction, again, excruciatingly painful. And she turned to me. She said, "I might be in excruciating pain, but I'm not suffering." And then she went into another incredibly painful contraction, because we were really at the end, and she came out, and with such calm and peace, she said, "Suffering is pain that has no meaning, but this is the most meaningful pain I could ever hope to have." And if a woman can say that to you minutes before giving birth, then that to me is prophetic. And it's really such a blessing that the difference between pain and suffering is pain that has no purpose. But when there's purpose to your pain, then the pain turns to power. And the Jewish people understand that the purpose to this pain is not even just about the gain of a country for us. It's about the world. We are here for the world. And people don't understand it. There are Jews that don't understand that, which is sad, right? But our commitment to this land is not coming from some tribal, selfish concern. It doesn't come from a place that I want a land because it's better for me as an individual to have a land in a country. It's about, we are building this land for the world because we are meant to be a conduit of blessing to all of mankind, not only a conduit of blessing, inspiration to people, how they should live their lives individually and in terms of family, but how nations, how countries, how governments should run their country under the values of God.
So then ultimately, when we live in Israel, if we can't live in Israel, we support Israel financially, politically, you know, with all the support that Israel needs within the world at large, with PR, we're helping build that mission. We're helping bring that message to the world.
It is about the world. And I think it's important to understand, you know, I am, and I know a lot of Jews are very universalistic. And because they're so universalistic, they can possibly have problems with being Jewish, being Zionistic, because they think that's very particularistic. But that is a confused, wrong understanding. Our commitment to this country, as particularistic as it appears on the outside, is the most universalistic mission. Because our goal here is to be a model state for all countries, to be a conduit of blessing to all people, and that when King Solomon finally built the temple, his prayer was that it'll be a temple for all people. It will be a temple not only for all people that they can come visit and turn to Hashem, turn to God. But it will be a prayer. It will be a house of prayer for all people, that we Jews will pray for all people there. And so my commitment as a Jew is because I care about the world, not just because I care about the Jewish people. I care about the Jewish people, and I care about the Jewish people fulfilling their mission. And their mission is to bring blessing to all of mankind.
I think I've heard the analogy before that Israel is the heart of the world. And if with the message that you're sharing with us, I mean, that makes this idea even more powerful, because the heart is what pumps the blood out to the whole body so that it can, every part of the body can function as it needs to. And if we think that Israel, if it's the importance of a heart working properly, has an effect on all the rest of the body. So the way you're explaining things too, and that's not just symbolically, but in very real time, if Israel is functioning the way it needs to be, and the message is getting out there, it has an effect on the entire world, just as the heart has an effect on the entire body.
Right. Now, maybe you've seen one of those, this ancient map that shows Israel in the middle, and Africa and Europe and Asia are like petals of a flower. And the whole map looks like a flower with Israel, the kind of the, I think it's called the stamina, which is, what is it, what's it called? The center of the flower, and that the petals are emerging out of it. Again, I don't know what they do with America in this, you know, in England, but there's an ancient map that shows Europe and Africa and Asia.
Well,
as
again,
part of this flower.
And so the significance, again, of Israel as the heart of the world, Israel as the center, and I hope we can only continue to live up to our mission, live up to the responsibility that God's given us, and spread God's light and God's consciousness throughout the world. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.